Good afternoon. From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. Researchers launched an interactive glacial outburst flood website today to help Juneau's Mendenhall Valley residents plan for annual floods. It's called JunoFlood.com, and it's a project of the University of Alaska and the Alaska Climate Adaptation Science Center. The website features interactive versions of the flood and inundation maps the city published earlier this month. Residents can now scroll over their property to see the projected water depth for different flood heights. That detail is new to the public. Aaron Hood, an environmental science professor at UAS, says it should help people understand the risk to their home when the National Weather Service puts out a flood forecast.
Well, the main outcome is just to allow people to have more information to plan ahead.
The other information on the website was public before. It includes historical data and other information like how Suicide Basin formed to create the floods and how scientists make flood forecasts. But Hood says it wasn't accessible.
And so all of that stuff was somewhere, but it wasn't in places where people probably ever would have found it.
Now it's all in one place. Hood came up with the idea for the website. With a $30,000 grant from the Climate Adaptation Science Center, he hired a programmer named Sean Fagan to bring it to life. They hosted forums with residents to get feedback on the website before launching it and incorporated suggestions to make things easier to understand. Hood says the new site complements a Suicide Basin monitoring webpage run by the National Weather Service, which is still the go-to spot for emergency flood information. Businesses do not like uncertainty, but many in Southeast Alaska say that's exactly what they're facing amid recent actions by the federal government. And that's driving down local business owners' optimism about their economic prospects. That's according to a report released yesterday by the Southeast Alaska Business Climate Survey. It included insight from more than 400 business leaders from throughout the region. Melanie Shivens is the owner of Raincoast Data, which conducts the annual survey.
Anytime you put the words uncertainty and business together, it's not a recipe for success.
The survey shows that almost half of the businesses that participated expect recent federal actions to negatively impact their operations. Those actions include the Trump administration's funding and job cuts, executive orders, and tariffs. Timber, arts, and manufacturing businesses were reportedly the most concerned. Shivens says both business confidence and economic optimism have also appeared to shrink compared to previous years. That worries her.
We've seen a big shift in how people view the economy in a short period of time, which has been really interesting, really fascinating. And it's definitely not the positive outlook that we're looking for.
Tourism industry leaders shared concerns that tariffs might stop people from traveling or participating in tours. They're also worried about increasing costs and decreasing availability of goods, such as parts for helicopters. Housing availability was also an important topic in the report. Nearly 80% of employers reported that housing issues directly cause turnover or deter potential hires from moving to the region. The study says that's most problematic in Juneau and Sitka, where affordable and workforce housing is particularly scarce. And the Juneau School District is expanding its support of a local language immersion program. After multiple meetings and extended debate, the school board has agreed to fund more of the Tlingit language immersion program in the upcoming school year, even amid statewide school budgeting concerns. The program in question is Atkuaha, Expanding the Tlingit Culture, Language, and Literacy Program, or TCLL. The school district and the nonprofit arm of a regional Native corporation have historically roughly split the cost. The school board signed a memorandum of agreement Wednesday with the Alaska Heritage Institute to increase its investment in the project. But school board members brought up questions about whether the district should pay for more of the TCLL program amidst widespread concerns about funding. Board member Elizabeth Sidden said the school supports TCLL, but they have to balance that with the needs of the entire district.
But we support it amongst how we support all of our 4,000 students. So I'm trying to keep in mind that these 119 are not the only students we're responsible for.
The school board initially approved the change during its budget process. They were then under the impression that the grant SHI used for the program was ending, according to the school board president. But SHI was later approved for an extension of the grant. The program isn't growing, but now the school district will fund 8 of its 11 positions. And the change requires an additional $300,000 from the district's budget. SHI Education Director Christy Ford said the program is intended to increase the number of Tlingit language speakers.
We have less than 10 fluent speakers left, so the
need and the urgency to put intensive amount of support and instruction into the TCLL program was asked of us.
In recent meetings, some school board members said the program only serves a small percentage of Juno students. But Ford said the scope is intentional. It's intense and immersive, so that there's a group of dedicated speakers to make sure the Tlingit language doesn't go extinct. In Juno, I'm Yvonne Cremery. And it's been nearly 3 years since the town of Bar Harbor, Maine, voted to limit cruise traffic. In the year since, the citizen-led initiative has spurred lawsuits and attempted repeal and uncertainty about the future. While not entirely parallel, the case bears a striking resemblance to Sitka's, where a similar initiative to limit cruise traffic will be considered in a special election today. KCAW's Catherine Rose reached out to the chair of Bar Harbor's town council and advocates on either side of the issue to find out how things have been since the town started enacting the limit.
Bar Harbor, Maine is a picturesque coastal community, not unlike Sitka. It's a small waterfront town of just over 5,000 people, accounting for around half the population of Mount Desert Island.
You know, our mountains are not the size of Denali, but they're nice little mountains.
Charles Sidman is a scientific researcher and small business owner who's lived there since the 80s.
It's beautiful outdoors. I mean, you can hike and boat and camp and picnic and do all the things that people do.
And like Sitka, Bar Harbor is a popular tourist destination. Millions of people visit the island every year to tour Acadia National Park. Most come by car, but some visitors come by cruise ship. Until recently, the number of cruise visitors had grown to around 300,000 a summer. And like Sitka, that didn't sit well with everyone in Bar Harbor, including Sidman.
For every Bar Harborite or land visitor on the street, there would be 10 people from a cruise ship. You couldn't walk down the sidewalk. You know, this temporary, just absolute inundation.
In 2008, the community drafted a cruise plan that set some soft caps, and the industry agreed to limit visitors to around 5,000 a day. Bar Harbor's council chair Val Peacock says that, at the time, meeting those caps seemed far away. But recently, that started to change.
And the town was accepting, you know, more and more reservations in that space, and we started to get increased visitation. Around 2018 and 19, it started to get really steep.
Conversations around how to limit cruise traffic gained momentum. The town council discussed its options in a long, public, sometimes messy process. Ultimately, the council negotiated an agreement with the cruise industry. But Sidman felt the council wasn't going far enough, so he organized a citizen petition to limit numbers to 1,000 passengers a day.
We were the first ones to my knowledge, to actually legislate serious limits.
In November of 2022, the initiative to limit cruise traffic won with 58% of the vote. Peacock says the reaction was swift.
And on New Year's Eve, we had a lawsuit filed against us.
The lawsuit was not from the cruise industry, but from the Association to Preserve and Protect Local Livelihoods, or APLE, an organization of local businesses, restaurants, gift shops, tour operators, and the pier owners that formed in response to the initiative.
There's nothing wrong with people visiting your town.
Evan Salvatore is a member of APLE and runs pier and tender operations in Bar Harbor.
These people knew that 95% of our cruise ships would not come anymore. You know, and they didn't care.
In federal court, Apple argued that the ordinance violated the U.S. Constitution's Commerce Clause by restricting commerce and interstate travel. The council held off on enacting the ordinance at the time. In February 2024, a federal judge in Maine District Court upheld the cruise limit. Apple appealed the decision, but the council moved to enforce the 1,000-visitor limit with just a few months until the 2024 cruise season.
Any reservation that we had, we sort of kept, but we stopped taking more. And then we started to try to build out the rules to actually enforce the ordinance, which requires the town to count passengers.
It was a bumpy summer. The pier owners allowed passengers to disembark without permits, and the city sued them. With industry support, the council tried to replace the cruise cap with a higher limit last fall. Peacock, who isn't a fan of cruise ships herself, hoped they could find a middle ground.
To manage this, and what's the best way for us to like do that without having all of this massive litigation and angst in the community, there's a trade-off there that I thought was worth putting in front of the voters.
The repeal effort failed by just over 60 votes in November. Peacock says before the lawsuit, the city was budgeting around $40,000 a year in legal fees. Now, that budget is closer to $350,000 a year.
And we've also lost revenue because we're not having as many cruise ships come. You know, there's two hits to the budget that way.
Salvatore says that's hurting local businesses that relied on cruise traffic.
You know, we went from 70 cruise ships last year down from 170 to 70, and this year there's only 17. The cruise lines understandably won't come if they can't, you know, welcome all their passengers ashore, so they're not coming.
Apple's appeal of the cruise limit is being considered by a federal circuit court judge right now. The judge heard oral arguments in January, and now it's a waiting game to see whether the initiative will be overturned. Sidman is satisfied. The voters have been heard, cruise traffic is down, and he thinks the town can weather that change, especially considering the other 4 million tourists that visit by land every year.
All cities around the planet, some want more cruise ships the better, and some would like them to go away entirely, and then there's some in the middle. There's no one-size-fits-all, and I think the business of local determination is an important principle.
And Sitkins, on both sides of the issue, would probably agree with that. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 53 degrees and raining. There's more rain on the way tonight, and that looks true for tomorrow and Friday as well. You're listening to KTOO. For more news, go to ktoo.org. Thanks for tuning in.